The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Well, well, welcome. That was a terrible intro to Fantasy Football Today. This is the time where I hate that we do these live because I would love to start over. But well, well, welcome to all of you. Adam, Jamie, and hey, Dan Schneider. We haven't heard from Dan in a while. What's up, Dan?
What's going on, guys? Happy to be here. Happy to be back.
What's Wisconsin ranked?
Not good. They're not ranked.
They're not ranked? What happened?
No. I know. That almost never happens. In my lifetime, they're almost always top 25 both sports. But bad times for the Wisconsin program right now.
Jamie, are the Gators ranked? No, they're not.
Right. I haven't checked the polls. I've given up on their ranking. Just hoping to pull off an upset against Georgia this week.
Oh, I didn't know. Cool. It's Florida Georgia week.
Yes, would have been a lot more hyped had they not lost to Kentucky.
LSU, Kentucky,
and LSU.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's you lose to LSU. Never mind. Welcome. Let's talk about the injuries, news, and notes here. We got your Apple Podcast questions and your emails. Good way to get on the show is to ask an Apple Podcast question. But what we'd really appreciate in addition to the question and the five-star rating is a review. Please tell everyone what you like about the show because the goal of that is to get more people to listen to the show or watch the show here on YouTube. All right, Jamie, I'm just going to let you fire through these news and notes. And Dak Prescott may not play. So if he doesn't play, Lamb and Cooper are what?
Lamb would be a low-end number two, high-end number three receiver. Amari Cooper would be a number three receiver. Dalton Schultz would be a low-end number one tight end. Ezekiel Elliott would still be a must-start running back, but obviously downgrades for everybody across the board if Dak is not there.
Would you put Ricky Seals-Jones ahead of ahead of Dalton Schultz?
No.
I just woke up from like an eight-minute nap, so I'm a little groggy right now.
You like those or dislike those?
They are totally out of necessity. I do like them. I would have fallen asleep on the air if I didn't. What's your nap
suggestion? Because I do this all the time. You're supposed to get like 20 minutes.
Right. You get the REM sleep if you get the 20 minutes, right? Yeah, I heard that.
No. Past 20 minutes, you get REM.
Right.
But you want to get 20 minutes of like those cat naps.
Yeah.
Wait, you don't want the REM?
No, because then you fall asleep. You're in deep sleep.
Okay.
Oh, so you... Okay, Jamie, you do or don't want 20 minutes of catnap?
You want 20 minutes. You don't want more than 20 minutes.
Oh, you want maximum 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I guess I feel kind of refreshed. I could see that.
I do it all the time. Like, I plan my nights around.
Kyler Murray expected to be fine, but Robert Tonyan tore his ACL. Cleveland notes. Looks like basically everyone's healthy except for Kareem Hunt. The main guys. Baker Mayfield's going to start. Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham. I'll throw this one to Dan. Pick a wide receiver for the Browns this week against the Steelers.
I'm going to go with Beckham, assuming he can play.
What a homer.
Homer. I've been off the Beckham bandwagon for a long time.
Alex Collins, Jamie, I didn't bring this up on the Friday show, but I know he didn't practice Thursday. Concerns about him going this week against Jacksonville?
Obviously this is the other negative about doing the show when we do it is the West Coast teams. We still don't have the practice reports for them as of Friday afternoon. So just check back. If he does not practice, then I would not necessarily run to pick up Rashad Penny, but I would have a quick jog to go pick up Rashad Penny because the matchup against Jacksonville is favorable. The offensive situation is disastrous for Seattle, but still a running back that's looking at probably 15 to 20 total touches is hard to overlook right now.
You know, you're not supposed to jog for more than 20 minutes, I heard. You might...
Well, we know that for you.
Get actual exercise.
You're not actually capable of jogging for more than 20 minutes, Adam, are you?
Not at the moment, no. Without stopping, gosh, no. Julio Jones just declared out. Breaking news. Julio Jones is out. Dan, does this change anything?
No, I mean, at this point, A.J. Brown's locked and loaded. He's been back for a couple weeks now. It doesn't really change much for me. With Jones out, he's still going to get the majority of those targets.
I think they're going to lean on Henry a little bit in this game. Okay, Giants stuff. Dan, I'll let you handle it. Who's playing for the Giants?
Yeah, my expectation here is actually going to be probably a little different than you've read on some of these reports. I don't think anyone but Sterling Shepard's going to play. Shepard has actually said that he was close to playing last week, injured another hamstring, his other hamstring. Now he says he's good to go. The other ones, they seem like they're starting to progress towards some a little bit more than individual drills, but that I don't think they're a cautious team, the Giants under Judge. So I don't think that's going to lead to Barkley. Tony is the one who I think has the best chance to play of the three out of any of them. Barkley and Galladay, I think, are not going to play.
Right. Okay, that sounds fair. Jordan Howard got work with the starters. Jamie threw up three puke emojis on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw
it. It was good. Also, not supposed to puke for more than 20 minutes. So did that change anything, that just seeing that report?
I anticipated that Jordan Howard would be playing to some capacity, you know, whether it's just he's the emergency guy now, like Boston Scott was, or is he going to be, you know, somebody that, you know, threatens Boston Scott's touches. I don't think Gainwell's touches change dramatically. He's going to be involved in the passing game. He's going to get an increase in his carries, but to what extent, that's the question. You know, so Gainwell is still more of a flex play at best, better in PPR than non-PPR. Scott is a desperation play, better in probably non-PPR than PPR, but probably similar in both because he'll probably get a couple catches. Jordan Howard, you got to be completely stuck at the running back position. Adam, we just got another piece of news from the Broncos. Mike Kliss, who covers the team for many years, he's with Nine News, which is a TV station out there. Jerry Jeudy not practicing on Friday. That's not good.
No, that is not good. Okay.
He was just talking yesterday how he's had no problems cutting and everything. That sucks.
Yeah, it could just be that they're resting him, but anytime you see a guy not practicing on Friday, not good, not a good sign.
No, and by the way, we know that they're so beat up at linebacker. One of their starting defensive tackles is also going to be out for probably multiple weeks. I believe that is Purcell, who is out this week. So an even better matchup than we realized for Antonio Gibson. And Corey Davis.
Yeah, Von Miller did also not practice.
Actually saw something on Twitter for a few minutes ago that Jamie was talking about that I thought was good and I wanted to bring up just because I think it's a nice little tidbit that people can take forward, like moving forward from this point on. If you have a player who's questionable practicing on and off during the week and they don't, and you mentioned this, Jamie, if they don't make him available to the media at the end of the week, there's a really good chance he's not going to play. So you can track that and have a better idea for your questionable guys.
All right, Corey Davis is out for the Jets. So any interest in Jamison Crowder?
No, you got to be stuck. You know, the thing I want to see, and it sucks that it's not with Zach Wilson, I want to see Elijah Moore get targets. I want to see Denzel Mims get targets. You know, see what these young guys can do. It's not an easy situation. The Bengals defense is really good, but it would have been nice to see Zach Wilson having to rely on the young guys and just, you know, how can they do with increased playing time, increased opportunities? So that's the unfortunate thing that we won't get a full analysis on, is how good those young guys can potentially be right now.
Is this better for Michael Carter? Did you boost him in your rankings, Jamie?
No, I think it's about the same. You know, he's a, you know, borderline starter in a two running back league. He's a good flex play, better in PPR than non-PPR. I think, as we saw, Mike White's going to check the ball down. And, you know, this is where the Bengals, for their body of work on the season, has been susceptible with pass catching running backs.
That's so true. Yeah,
it's not a slam dunk, you know. But I could see a, you know, 5 for 40 game, and, you know, receiving game for him, and then probably 40-50 yards rushing. So he could be, you know, 60-75 total yards. Maybe fall to the end zone. So better, you know, PPR type of running back than non PPR.
This Sunday, the NFL on CBS features several great matchups, including Big Ben leading the Steelers on the road in Cleveland against the Browns, the red-hot Bengals taking on the Jets, and the Patriots out west clashing with the Chargers. Get set for the day beginning at noon Eastern with the NFL Today. That is all coming up Sunday on the NFL on CBS. Apple Podcast questions. This is from someone from a city with a grassy knoll. I guess that would only be Dallas. That's all I know. And he or she says, I got offered a second round pick for Damian Harris and Kadarius Toney plus a 13th. What? And then I took that trade and I turned that second round pick and Zach Moss into McCaffrey and Hubbard.
What?
I don't understand any of this. What? You gave up Kadarius Toney? and Damian Harris for a second round pick. That was not a, I wouldn't have done that.
Not the hell's trading the, but take, the second part is even weirder.
Then you took that second round pick in Moss and made it McCaffrey and Hubbard. That's okay. Now you did well.
So the second round pick is, it's not a dynasty. It's not a rookie draft, right?
Yeah, I think it's just regular keeper.
All right. Well,
because then it's a little different.
That helps. Yeah.
It's better, but I don't know. I mean,
okay,
you did
okay,
great.
Okay, that's
you
totally
got McCaffrey.
That's totally different then. Yeah, you did great. You got McCaffrey. Way to go. Nice. All right. From Go Pack Go. Actually, this is from Sean in Toronto, whose little Apple name is Go Pack Go. Hey, Kessler, Henny, Leftwich, and Garrard.
Cody Kessler, Byron Leftwich.
Cody Kessler, Jaguars. Yeah. Cody Jags. Kessler. I couldn't place that one. Pick
Jack
one.
Kessler played for them.
Yeah. Pick one for flex. Yeah. Thanks. I gathered that, Dan. pick one for flex. Keenan Allen, Eli Mitchell, Deontay Johnson, Darrell Williams, or Damian Harris?
I would love to just have one of these loaded teams like this.
Yeah, where this is your problem. Yeah, I know.
Remember,
right?
It's 10 teams and it's standard scoring.
Oh, that helps, actually. I'm going to go Deontay here. But, actually,
it's between Mitchell and Harris for me.
Harris,
I'd probably go Mitchell. Bad news, though, for Mitchell. Akeem Hicks practices in full on Friday.
Oh, that is bad news.
I mean, last time Akeem Hicks played, they were terrible against the run, but it was the
Well, Khalil Mack is ruled out, so things changing.
Yeah. You wouldn't go Deontay Johnson here? I know it's standard.
I would go Deontay Johnson. But
the only problem is that, you know, he can have 7 for 80, and that's a great PPR game. But if he doesn't score, right. You know, then you're, you know, I just always, whenever it's non-PPR, I lean toward the guys that are going to get touched the ball the most, and that's going to be Mitchell, in my opinion. You know, he's got three games that he's started. I'm sorry, four games that he started. Three of them, he's been 16 or more carries.
Yeah.
And the one time that he didn't come through was the game where he got hurt against Philadelphia.
I thought he had a game. Didn't he have a 12-carry game against Arizona?
No, it was like a 9-carry game, I think it was.
Nine. Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Three or four.
Oh,
he's
but he had
work.
The 16 carries against Philadelphia or 17 against Philadelphia. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
From Bama Gambler, who should I start at wide receiver and flex? I have Metcalf, Kupp, Godwin, and Emmanuel Sanders. So Kupp is going to start. Is it? I guess then he just needs one then. Godwin
you're probably
or
locking
Metcalf.
Godwin, so it's kind of between Sanders and Metcalf, right?
I don't know if he even needs one of them, but you can rank him anyway. Metcalf or Sanders?
I'd go Metcalf still, even with Geno Smith. He still showed last week. He just needs one play.
I think the thing when you have a situation like this, and we probably don't talk about these type of scenarios enough, you have two home runs, right? Kupp is the best receiver in fantasy. Godwin's in a great spot because he's going to avoid Lattimore in what hopefully is a high scoring game. Which is the next best thing for you? The guy that'll give you the floor or the ceiling? You know, so if you want, and it goes either way, because if you know you're getting the guaranteed production of those other two guys, maybe just take the safe route and go Sanders. But if you want the, okay, I got two home runs, why not, you know, try and go 3 for 3? DK Metcalf is the better play.
I could not have foreseen a scenario where Cooper Kupp would be the number one wide receiver in fantasy. I can't really believe what's happening, that he's getting double-digit targets every game. It's pretty amazing.
So two things. One, it shows you what Sean McVay can do when he has better quarterback play. And that's no shot at Jared Goff, because Goff was good for him for the majority of his tenure there. But Stafford takes this offense to a different level. You watch their games, he is always open.
Always.
And
right?
That's just not him. That's McVay, you know, the rub routes, the picks, the things that they do, the pre-snap motion. Teams are just so confused facing this team. You know, now they'll start to get figured out as the second half rolls along, especially when they get second time through against their division opponents. But he is always open, and he's just so good at catching everything, and Stafford's looking for him. There is something that may change a little bit. Apparently, there's multiple reports now that Deshaun Jackson's requested a trade. So, you know, we'll see, you know, if they are able to move him. It's probably a boost for Van Jefferson more so than anybody else, just because he'll be on the field a little bit more. But if that just opens up a target or two more for Woods, for Kupp, for Van Jefferson, those guys just get even better.
And I'll add this. It is true what Jamie said. I've broken down film on a lot of these teams this year. No one has route combinations like McVay except maybe Andy Reid. And he he gets these guys open early. But I will say this, 2 years ago we did, or maybe it was last year, we heard Devontae Adams call Cooper Kupp the most underrated receiver in the game. And he remains that until this year, because it's all about route running, releases off the line of scrimmage, the footwork. The same reason why Devontae Adams is so good. They're just so uncoverable right off their release on the line of scrimmage. And they've got great feet. And he's a great receiver. People are finally starting to realize that you don't need 4.4 speed to be a great receiver at all.
This is from Tyler in a snooty city in Arizona. So this is apparently Scottsdale, and I'm seeing a 2014 article with the top 10 snootiest cities in America.
What else is on there?
San Francisco is one. This is from azcentral.com. I don't think it's their list. I'm not sure.
Aggregated.
No, it's okay. It's from Movoto, I guess. I don't know how to pronounce that. Made the list. San Francisco 1, Washington, D.C. 2, Seattle 3, Scottsdale 4, Oakland 5, Portland 6, Irvine 7, Honolulu 7, tied.
Whoa.
Madison 9, and Atlanta 10.
Madison, Wisconsin?
Yeah. God, you're so snooty, bro.
There's nothing snooty about Madison. It's the total opposite.
Were you there in 2014?
No, I was gone.
Okay, well, see, things changed. Things changed.
It's about
like median home price, median household income, percentage of population with a college degree, private schools per capita, performing arts per capita, art galleries per capita. Man, I'm glad I don't live on the West Coast. All those snooty people.
We just made a lot of people mad just by airing this.
I'm on my list. Anyway, Snooty Tyler says Jared Cook for James Conner in PPR. Grade the trade. Give up Cook, get Connor.
Great.
100%.
What? Yeah. Why would anyone do this?
I don't know.
James Conner's on pace for like 16 touchdowns or more this year.
I think he's on pace for 700 rushing yards and 16 touchdowns.
Yeah, 716.
Plus, there's the home run or the lottery ticket appeal if something happens to Chase Edmonds. Like, imagine if he's getting the full-time work.
Oh, yeah.
Not that you need it because he scores every week.
All right. This is from Chris from somewhere south of Interstate 8. I don't know.
I've never even heard of Interstate 8.
Me either. That doesn't exist. Come on. There's only like 7 interstates.
Okay.
Hey, Jason, Michael, Chidi, and Eleanor. I might have said that wrong. This is the good wife or the good place.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sure. Great.
Have you not seen that show, Adam?
I'm sure
you haven't.
I've never seen it, no.
Of course you haven't.
Nobody's seen it.
A lot of people have seen it, and it's one of the best shows in probably the last 5 years.
All right, I'll take a look. What channel? Yeah,
great plot, comedy.
What's it on?
It's got it all.
How do I watch it? What is it on?
I think you can find it on Hulu now. It was on one of the major. It might have been on our network. No, I don't think it was on our network.
It sounds like a CBS show.
It does sound like it. I have no idea which network it originally aired on.
All right, I need 2 receivers, 2 running backs, and a flex. So pick 2 running backs. Let's just hope he started Aaron Jones. Joe Mixon, James Robinson, pick 1.
Robinson.
Okay,
pick I'm actually leaning Mixon in this one.
Okay.
But I get
hopefully we'll flex Robinson. The other one. Debo Samuel.
You those guys, though?
You're going to sit Amari Cooper. Yeah, Debo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, Amari Cooper. You're going to sit Cooper, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And then it comes down to either Cordarrelle Patterson or Robinson or Mixon.
Patterson.
Yeah, I'm actually going Patterson, too. Who would have thought?
Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. I'd play both running backs over Patterson.
Over who?
I'd play Robinson and Mixon over Patterson.
Oh, okay. I'd go Patterson there.
Over which one? Over Mixon? No, over Robinson.
I don't like this matchup for Robinson. Seattle's D is playing much better.
They are playing better, but they're still terrible against pass-catching running backs, so hopefully Darrell Bevell and Urban Meyer realize that.
Cool $2 says, pick 2 in full PPR. D'Ernest Johnson, Tony Pollard, J.D. McKissick, Boston Scott, Brandon Bolden.
McKissick is probably the best of that group, just based on what you think he should do. I wonder if, and you might not know this until game time, but I wonder if the Cowboys look at what the Packers just did.
Right, I was thinking
that's different because the receiving core is there, the quarterback is still there, but you know, if the quarterback is not there, is it just all Zeke and Tony Pollard in that game? I don't know if I want to trust that, though. I probably would go either Boston Scott or Bolden, knowing what their roles are.
Pollard has the biggest ceiling, though, I think, for what the reason Jamie was talking about.
Maybe so.
From Ollie35, dear Mac, Tua, Jalen, and Greg, Bama quarterbacks.
Nice.
14-team league, I traded Ricky Seals-Jones, Cole Beasley, John Connor, probably James Connor. So Ricky Seals-Jones, Cole Beasley, James Connor, Mike Davis, Devin Singletary, and Brandon Bolden. That's a lot of filler.
What is this?
For Christian McCaffrey and Allen Robinson. Yeah, it's great.
I'll take it. Yeah. I just didn't, I don't, what is this? 10 team? Is 14, it 10 team league?
No, it's 14 team.
Oh, it's four, in a 14, like you're not going to be able to refill that bench. That's the one thing I would say about this. I still do it, but in a 14 team league, you cannot refill that bench. There's not going to be anything out there like those players who are basically all startable or borderline startable.
Yeah, it's a good trade. From Java MC. I made the following trade in a 12-team dynasty league in non-PPR. I gave Dalvin Cook a 2023 third-round pick. And that's it. Cook and a 2023 third-round pick. And I got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, T. Higgins, and a 2022 first-round pick. Is that enough? Cook and a 2023 third for CEH, T. Higgins, and a 2022 first. It's non-PPR.
I don't love it. But it's hard to say unless we know what pick you have, because if it's a top three pick, then it's much better. If it's a bottom first pick, late first pick, then that's pretty disappointing for what Dalvin Cook is.
And Jamie nailed it. And you got to assume that the team trading for Cook is contending. That's why they're making this kind of trade. So you're probably going to get a bottom first round pick, which loses a lot of value. I also think at this point, even I'm off the CEH bandwagon. It's hard long-term, especially. It's just hard to even stay there. So you're really not getting much back here. You could have got more, I think, for somebody like Cook.
I think sometimes people fall victim to this. You know, when you're in trade mindset, but you haven't made it public yet, and you get a trade offer, especially if you're in a dynasty or keeper league, don't just settle for that offer and don't just settle for that trade partner. Okay, now you know what you have on the table. Now go explore other teams. You know, so let's say the person offering Edwards-Helaire and T. Higgins is a 500 team or one game above 500. Well, look at the team that's maybe a spot ahead of them in the standings or below them in the standings or two spots each way, and then say, hey, I got an offer for Dalvin Cook. What can you make me? You know, I'm looking to sell Dalvin Cook. You know, you don't necessarily make it public to the league, but it's not a bad move. Also, be aggressive. You know, don't just settle for the first offer you get.
I'm having so much trouble making trades this year. It's really upsetting. I think I've made one.
It's just in all your leagues?
Yeah, I think so.
Yikes.
I you know, I'm in a league where I need the most help, and it's not a very active league, and it's frustrating me that I'm playing against people who don't seem to care and I can't win, but it's just like, I don't get it, but I keep making trade offers, and not only do they not get accepted or rejected, they don't even get replied to. So, yeah, that's really frustrating me. And yeah, I don't know.
Is it with your home friends or anything? You can text them and yell at them?
Yeah, sort of. It's work people, but I don't have all of their numbers.
Oh, this is the Darce League?
Yeah. Darce and I are playing this week in a race to the bottom. But you know,
most of your teams sound like they're in a race
to
the bottom.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. No, not at all. Don't say yeah. It's not true at all. Yeah. I'm having a solid year. This is my worst team. 2-5. Russell Wilson, but yeah, I think
load up on running backs in rounds 3 to 5 just isn't working for you, bud.
It would have if I had actually done that in this league. But you know, this league, I think I approached it a little bit too much like a 3-receiver PPR league, and it's a 2-receiver half PPR league, and I wish I were better at running back, to be honest with you.
Nobody's good at running back.
I am in some leagues. All right. So listen, coming up to later today, controversy brewing among us CBS podcasters, because I said, Jamie and I were quoting My Cousin Vinny yesterday, I think, or Thursday. And huge shock. Dan Schneier has apparently actually seen My Cousin Vinny and hates it.
I do not hate that movie. Hold on. That cannot be said here. Great movie. Love it. Just not top five.
So he said it wasn't a top 10 comedy. I said, no, you're right. It's a top 10. It's a top 5 comedy, bro.
And I stand by not top 10 either.
So I asked him, you have to give me your 10 best comedies. After we do Fantasy Cops, we're going to get Dan Schneier's 10 best comedies. We're also, Jamie and I came up with our own list of what we think Dan Schneier's 10 best comedies are. I think we've got it nailed. Obviously, Little Giants is going to be on there. So we'll find out if we're accurate. But also want to hear what Dan thinks are the 10 funniest movies of all time. Now. Let's get to the fantasy cops. The first one is not a specific question. It's one that I get a lot. If you want specifics, one person on Twitter texted me or tweeted me about a trade in the league involving Tom Brady for one team and Daryl Henderson for the other team. And the question of the fantasy cops dilemma is about renting players, because these two managers did a Brady for Henderson trade, and then 1 week later, they traded him back. And I hate that.
It happened in one of my leagues, too. I hate it, too.
It hate trade backs.
Makes my blood boil.
It's not fair.
What do you do about it, fantasy cops?
You step up as a commissioner, and you make a rule yourself that this can't happen. But that's a problem. Then it's subjective. Like, what is written in the rule, and what is considered a trade back? I think I'm lucky enough to be playing in most leagues where this just doesn't happen. People just have respect for the idea that this is bad for the rest of the league.
So I'm in, I don't know if Adam, you ever took part in the office league, the big one?
No.
24th.
No.
So it's been at times a 32 team league. It's a 24 team league right now. So we do team QB, and somebody, I won't name names to protect the guilty. But they traded, and it happened to be my matchup. So I had Josh Allen on a bye last week. I was facing somebody who had a quarterback on a bye. Traded four. I also made the same. Now this is where it got a little, I felt it was like a personal attack on me. I made an offer of Alex Collins for the Lions team quarterback. That manager accepted Rashad Penny for the Lions quarterback. Now this was during the week when Collins was not practicing. So that's when the trade happened. And I don't know if that was the reason, but after the matchup was over, I lost. After the week was over, they traded back Lions team QB for Rashad Penny. And I was like, whoa, what was it? Now, if I had lost by a margin that was not more significant than it was, and the quarterback was the difference, I would have probably had more of a stink about it, and nobody else said anything. But it's just really shady. It's just absolutely really shady. Like, I don't think that should go on. And if I was a commissioner, I would have, you know, probably penalized those two managers.
But would you have, because we all agree we hate it, but none of us have ever actually put anything in the rules, because it's never happened to me in any of my leagues. Never happened in my league.
It doesn't usually happen in most regular leagues.
So like, I don't know what I would
do. A rare example.
If it happened in one of the podcast leagues where I'm the commissioner, I would hate it. But since I didn't have a rule against it, I don't know if I would actually do anything. So that's number one. Number two, my rule would be you cannot trade back a player that you acquire to the same team for at least 3 weeks. I would just put that in there in my constitution.
That's fair.
But yeah, I mean, can you penalize it, or do you just have to let it stay and then say no more of this going forward? Or no more of this?
I would have probably left those. What I would have probably done is you're stuck with these players. You can't drop them. You're stuck with them the rest of the season. And if you drop them, you're out of the league next year.
No. All right. You're pretty fired up about it. All right, Dan.
I stand by that.
Yeah,
you have to give these threats. Like, it's just like the teams we were talking about before, Adam, the teams that make bad trades and you're like, oh, you should veto them. No, you don't veto them. You just say, like, if you're going to continue, like, you don't let that, you don't invite that team back in. That's the better way to do it.
All right.
It's cutthroat, but it's the way to do it.
Okay, you guys are pretty intense fantasy cops over there. I guess I'm good cop. You guys are bad cops.
Yeah, you're the good cop.
From Ariella, my trade was recently vetoed. Can you remind everyone how you all feel about vetoes? Currently, I'm number one overall in my 12-team half PPR money league, and I made a trade with the number 12 0-7 team, who has been plagued with injuries. The number 12 injury is my partner, but there was no collusion. Please note, whoever finishes last place in our league has to do a punishment. So he's trying to get a win, and I'm trying to better my team to win the money. Hence, we both wanted a fair trade. The trade was me giving Dak Prescott, Zach Moss, and Rashad Bateman for Patrick Mahomes. I messaged the league group chat asking about why the trade was vetoed, and I received no response. I suspect the commissioner helped veto the trade. Can you please remind me on your thoughts on vetoes? And she's just saying that because she knows how much we hate them. I plan on sending my league group chat your response. Also, the trade was finalized Friday morning, and he, the guy I traded with, my partner, benched Chase Edmonds, who played on Thursday, with the intention of starting Zach Moss over Edmonds. But then the trade got vetoed, so he got screwed. Yeah, originally when I saw you were number one and made a trade with an 0-7 team, I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. But knowing that there is a penalty to be in last place, it does make it a little bit more defensible. What do you guys think?
Not to mention, this is not vetoable at all unless we get news that Dak Prescott has some kind of injury that's going to leave him out for a long period of time. And we're still unsure of that. Like, we think maybe it'll be a week. But, I mean, this guy gets two potentially startable players on an 0-7 team where probably needs fill-ins at flex and running back because that's why they're 0-7. And so, yeah, it's a better – you want Mahomes in this deal, but this is nowhere close to vetoable.
Yeah. How do you feel about this trade? It's a six-player trade between two teams. Team A gets Marvin Jones, Leonard Fournette, and Zach Moss. Team B gets, prior to last night, Chase Edmonds, Tyreek Hill, and Savon Ahmed.
I think
obviously it's much better for the Hillside.
Yeah, I think it's okay, though.
But again, I'm not into any vetoes unless there's proven collusion.
Oh, I totally agree with you, though. So that was a trade that happened. I think, Dan, you're in this league, right? You're in the FFT league?
I'm not in the FFT. I'm in like one of the FFT leagues.
Yeah, this is the oldest one that we've done. Adam's in this league. So this was two of our
Heath
coworkers.
And George?
Yes.
Well, yeah, Heath basically, he made that trade on the air on Thursday. Oh, yeah.
So when the trade happened, I had some people in the league text me like, how are you going to allow this?
No, come on.
And I was like, that's not lopsided at all.
Yeah, Leonard Fournette, last 4 weeks, has been a top 10 running back. He's on pace in those four games. And I use these 4 weeks because that's when they really seem to just feature him.
He's been great. Zach Moss has been solid.
He's been on pace for like 1,700 total yards or something. He's just
like, is it a sell high on Fournette, buy low on Hill? Sure, but that doesn't make it a vetoable trade.
Right.
And right, prior to last night,
you can buy high on people and be right.
Right.
Sometimes.
Prior to last night, Edmonds had no touchdowns. He hadn't been exactly producing in the passing game. So it's basically you're giving up three potential starters for Tyreek Hill and maybe whatever Chase Edmonds is. Now, 2 weeks from now, if Miles Gaskin is out and Malcolm Brown's still on IR, it's going to look a little bit more lopsided if Edmonds continues to do what he did last night. But I mean,
but Edmonds, you can't be super encouraged by last night.
He scored, and I guess if you're just looking at that from that perspective,
yeah,
you're right. He's not. Nothing changed dramatically.
Right. All right. So that's it for the Fantasy Cops for today. Thanks so much for your emails. Remember, put Fantasy Cops in the subject line and send it to fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Little Giants and nine other comedies on Dan Schneier's Top 10 when we come back. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Today. All right, Dan. So we got emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. But first, I challenge you to give me a good top 10. Do you want to hear what... Let's do ours first. This is Jamie and I making guesses about what Dan was going to give as his top 10.
I like this. Have you ever heard of Laden Thinks? This is exactly what that is.
Yeah, it's one of my 10 favorite comedies, too.
No, Laden Thinks is not a comedy.
No, I never heard of that. But... The only two I knew were Wedding Crashers and Clerks. So the rest...
Yeah, I told you those ahead of time.
Yeah, the rest of the list...
The Clerks is a surprise call, and it's not... I go out on a limb with that one. I know it's not in most people's top 10, but the original Clerks is amazing.
It's not, though.
But it is, though. Like, we can't talk about it on air because it's not really a family-friendly topic, but the discussion about what his former girlfriend has done with other
people. Yeah, very
that's
funny.
That's an all-time bit. That's an all-time bit.
I know, but it's not a top 10 comedy. It's just not. But okay.
You like that better than My Cousin Vinny?
I do like that better than My Cousin Vinny, yes.
Okay.
But I think it's funnier. Straight up funnier. We're going for funny here. My Cousin Vinny is amazing.
Let me
say,
there's a scene of My Cousin Vinny where they're at breakfast where they learn about the grits, and the menu has three options: breakfast, lunch, dinner. And the looks on their faces is like, I guess we'll take breakfast. I mean, that is funnier than anything in Clerks. Like, that's just subtly incredible. And that's like the 30th most funny moment of that movie. So you're wrong about that.
You're more of a like random moment guy that nobody remembers or knows type.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. We think your top 10 comedies are Wedding Crashers, Clerks, Hangover. Did it make the list?
Oh, do you want me to reveal if you're right or wrong?
Yeah.
On any of these? Hangover did. Original Hangover made the list.
All right, here we go.
Old School.
Made the list. That's four.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Did not make the list.
It should have. I'm trying to give you a little credit here. Anchorman.
Made the list.
Swingers.
What'd you say?
Swingers.
Did not make the list. I've never seen Swingers. I mean, that's a bad call on my part, but I'm a little too, it's a little like earlier than
that's
me.
A great, it's a great movie. Happy Gilmore.
They actually have house phones and answering machines in Swingers.
What'd you say?
They have house phones and answering machines in Swingers. You might not know
right.
What
it's about. There you go. Is that even a comedy?
Happy Gilmore made the list.
Happy Gilmore lock. That's top three, maybe one.
Is Swingers a comedy? It's very funny.
That's what I asked you when we were discussing this.
It's very funny. I don't know if it's a comedy. I would call it a comedy.
The scene involving the phone and the answering machine is top five all time.
Yeah. Amazing. Happy Gilmore, you said it's on the list. Tommy Boy.
No.
Caddyshack.
No.
And then the bonus was Little Giants.
Nah.
So what, we have six? Including the two that you knew?
Yeah,
six.
All right, so give me your top 10.
All right, so those six, then Billy Madison. That's
I told you Billy Madison.
Yeah, I don't know how you missed Billy Madison.
Well, no, I said it's either Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison. I didn't
or
realize
both,
it was both.
Because they're both unbelievably funny and
they
incredible.
Are.
Okay, uh-huh. We're also going to throw on Superbad.
Okay.
Amazing.
Superbad is phenomenal.
Somehow you missed Step Brothers.
It's not
Come
top
on,
10 for
Step
me.
Step Brothers, that might be number one.
The more I've watched it,
oh no!
I love it, but the more I watched it, the less I love it. It's not as good.
You gotta see it once.
It's not as repeatable.
Right.
Okay, that's fair. And then the final one. This was very tough. There were a lot of options. I was thinking Dodgeball, maybe 40-Year-Old Virgin, maybe Get Him to the Greek is surprisingly funny. Big Lebowski up there, but I didn't go with any of those. I went with Big Daddy. Even though it's not technically a full comedy, it's so unbelievable. It's completely rewatchable. I can see that 50 to 100 times. It's better than My Cousin Vinny.
So basically, any Saturday Night Live character from the 90s that has made movies you like.
It's a good list.
It's really just Adam Sandler. It's a very Adam Sandler-driven list. I will admit that.
It's an Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell,
but then all those new, like the super bads, like those, that new age of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a very good list. It's hard to argue. I think, Jamie,
he's a Judd Apatow, Adam Sandler guy.
He's young. He's young. He's like 20.
I don't see
old.
How My Cousin Vinny can top those, though, really.
Oh, that's better than half of them.
It's better than, It's so, first of all, it's a really good movie.
So is Big Daddy.
Big Daddy is number four behind Wedding Singer on the Sandler list.
No way. Big Daddy's easy in the top three. There's a clear top three with Adam Sandler. It's Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, Big Daddy. Come on.
There's a clear top two, and there's a solid debate for number three. And
how
do you leave Little Nicky up?
Little Nicky, come on.
Not bad. It's underrated. But you wouldn't put Wedding Singer over Deeds, would you? Deeds was great.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, Wedding Singer.
Oh, Deeds was so underrated.
Jamie, Wedding Singer or Big Daddy?
I would go Wedding Singer. I like Big Daddy, but I would go Wedding Singer over that.
Big Daddy's got feel good and comedy.
But Dan's not going to get a lot of the 80s references from.
Yeah. So what would be on your list, Jamie, that's not on Dan's?
I also like 50 First Dates. I think 50 First Dates is a good Sandler movie.
It's fun. It's not like top 10.
What would be on my list that's not on Dan's?
Yeah, give me some. Give me some of your favorites.
Oh, I told you, but I said I didn't think he would say it. Coming to America is one of the best comedies of all time.
Amazing.
Caddyshack would be on the list. Let's see.
So what Airplane? What about like slapstick stuff? Airplane. Yeah, like
Airplane. Are you an Airplane?
Oh, Airplane for sure.
Naked Gun.
Zombieland 1 and 2.
Two. Zombieland 2.
Yeah, it's Jesse Eisenberg, man. All the Jesse.
I see where we're going.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think Naked Gun, Spaceballs, there could be some Mel Brooks on there. But for me, My Cousin Vinny is... Oh, Mrs. Doubtfire. Mrs. Doubtfire for sure.
Oh, that's a great one. That's also way better than My Cousin Vinny. And I like My Cousin Vinny. I don't want to be crapping on My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, wait. The third best Adam Sandler movie is Waterboy. That's not.
Oh yeah, terrible. Waterboy.
I still got Wedding Singer there, but that's.
I'm very 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 disappointed if you don't include me and Vicky Valancourt, especially with Mama, you know, and what you think about the devil with football. It's Halloween time, so anybody that dresses up as a football player is certainly celebrating Halloween because they're the devil.
That was pretty good.
It's a tremendous impression. Okay.
That was a pretty tremendous impression. Yeah.
We can make an Adam Sandler movie. You ready? A cookie for me, a cookie for you. Let's have a cookie and a big brown shoe. Oh, look, I got $1 million.
Yep. that's Adam Sandler now. Let's all watch Herbie Halloween. Okay, read some emails from John. Daryl Williams, Damian Harris, or Amari Cooper?
Damian Harris.
What's the format?
I don't know.
Non-PPR, it's Harris. PPR, yeah. I take Daryl Williams.
See, Shrek.
Daryl or Damian?
Daryl Williams, you said?
You said Daryl or Damian?
I said Daryl. He said D. Yeah. Williams, so.
Probably Daryl.
See, Shrek.
Yeah, if it's non-PPR, it's Damian Harris. There's a lot of confusion here. If it's non-PPR, it's Damian Harris. If it's PPR, it's Daryl Williams. If Damian Williams is in this mix, I would not take him over any of those guys.
That's why I didn't say his name, yeah. All right, from Sue Ann. Dear Meg, Joe, Amy, and Beth. Little Women, I believe. Right? Yeah.
You are a little man.
Yeah. Who should I start half PPR? Deontay Johnson or Cordarrelle Patterson?
I'm like 2 inches taller than you.
More than that.
I go Deontay here.
What was the question?
Deontay or Cordarrelle?
No, it doesn't matter, JB. You had sold it to me.
How are you benching one of these guys? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't really get this either.
Well, who's it going to be? Deontay or Patterson?
I would go Deontay.
From Colin, I have Dalton Schultz and Dallas Goedert. Would you trade one of them for George Kittle? And if so, who?
Yes, yeah. I would trade, if Dak is fine, I would trade Goedert because Schultz has already passed his bye week.
And the Dallas passing game is going to be on point this year. You just can't predict that with Philadelphia right now.
Right. The only hesitation would be is what happens to Schultz when Gallup is back.
That's true. It's a good point.
Take that into account too.
From No Name, who would you start in a flex spot? Mike Williams, Cordarrelle Patterson, or Khalil Herbert?
Patterson.
It's Patterson, but I can get behind the upside of Herbert.
From Davin.
Against that defense.
Gronk or Gesicki?
Gronk.
Yeah,
I don't like Gesicki against the Bills. He has not had a good track record against them at all.
From Matt, Alex Collins or Michael Carter, PPR?
Carter.
Carter.
From Chris, why do you never see elephants hiding in trees? Because they're really good at it.
Ah, good dad joke.
Also, start two in non-PPR. Chuba Hubbard, Zach Moss, Kenneth Gainwell, and Khalil Herbert.
Herbert and Hubbard.
Yeah, definitely.
From John, would you rather have Emmanuel Sanders or Kenneth Gainwell rest of season?
Sanders.
Sanders.
From Steven, half PPR, 12 teams, Hollywood Brown or Leonard Fournette rest of season?
That's a great question. I'm probably going Fournette because of position scarcity here.
Okay. Jamie, agreed?
Yes.
From Rob, dear Miss Cleo. You know who Miss Cleo is, Dan?
She like the fortune teller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PPR tight end premium league. Pat Freiermuth or Alex Collins?
Collins is safer, but the Steelers have ruled out Eric Ebron. So for whatever that's worth to help Freiermuth, who the last time we saw him again 7 for 58 on 7 targets. So right. He was heavily involved in that last game for the Steelers.
I'd like to figure out if it's Freiermuth or Muth, because during draft season, when I was looking it up, it was Muth. But I've been hearing Muth lately.
Who have you been hearing Muth lately?
Jamie's been saying, but also I heard on the broadcast.
I don't know if I can even tell the difference between if people are saying Muth or Muth. You got to really be listening in.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because I didn't even notice Jamie just said it the other way.
Yeah, no, because it's funny. I was driving by a farm the other day, and I heard all these cows, and it was just like mew, mew, right? Yeah. So you can tell the difference. I said mew, obviously, not moo.
Wow, that was a horrific bit right there. What was that?
Mew.
You didn't get a sing, like me, Jamie. I don't think is like lost. Right? We're both.
Well, I'm just saying. Well, you can't understand the difference between people saying moo and mew.
So you come up with some weird story about driving past. You're in upstate in New York, nowhere near these farms. You come up with some weird.
I live very close to farms.
You don't live anywhere close to farms.
I live in Sleepy Hollow. There's a farm, Stony Barn, Stone Brook, or what the heck's it called?
You know,
Stone,
it's a lie. Stone Barn. It consists of one total farm that he's making up with a name.
Do you know what the cows thought of your joke?
What?
They didn't care. It's a moot point.
No, it was a mute.
See, that's a little better. That's at least a little better.
All right. This is from Daryl, my brother Daryl, and my other brother Daryl.
There's no way you know that reference.
I already did this with Heath on Thursday. It's Bob Newhart.
That was a great show.
I'm sure it was. 10-team, 2-keeper PPR league.
By the way, good news. Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb off the injury report. Both are playing.
Nice. Nick Chubb, baby.
Did you really have to interrupt the question for that?
Yes, actually, yeah, he did.
All right, I'm gonna moot you. I have Waller and Kittle. I wanted to get Javonte Williams in case he pops in the second half. I traded Kittle for Javonte Williams, but I had to drop AJ Dillon in the process.
Well,
what league is this?
I don't know, but what do you think about that trade, Kittle for Javonte?
You bought low on Javonte, which is fine, but you sold low on Kittle, which is never good. And the fact that you had to basically give up Kittle and AJ Dillon to get Javonte Williams is just a terrible, terrible move.
Yeah.
Jeez. Tell me how you really feel.
It's hard to defend this. I would agree, but I would love to know the tight end situation behind there. I would say this, if you're really struggling with any decision like this, let's go ahead, drive by a farm. That'll probably tell you what to do.
Literally, I'm 10 minutes away from a farm. Another farm called Muscoot that we go to sometimes.
And that's that one doesn't sound
25 minutes away.
Starting to believe you.
So what the hell is it called? I think it's called Stone Barn. There's a famous restaurant there where it's like $300 a plate or something. Like, it's one of those crazy, you know, people from Scottsdale probably go there. I will never go there, but maybe.
You'll never go there?
No, I would never spend that much on a meal ever. I've got a hot pocket in the freezer, bro. I'll just take that.
Bro, you're just big on the bros today, aren't you?
I have my RB2 and flex spots in question. Emmanuel Sanders, Chuba Hubbard, Joe Mixon, Eli Mitchell, Jerry Jeudy. Who am I starting at RB2 and flex? We've got Emmanuel Sanders, Chuba Hubbard, Mixon, Mitchell, Jeudy.
And what is it? 0.5 PPR?
Why did you say that? I didn't say anything about the format. What made you ask that?
Because my answer depends on.
But why did you say 0.5 PPR? It's not like I said
anything. I default to 0.5 PPR.
Oh my goodness.
The leagues are using it.
Mixon and Mitchell.
Sorry.
And I would go Mixon and Mitchell though, yes.
Okay. From Sean.
You guys are like an old married couple.
Start 3. We haven't even argued about the Giants. Antonio Gibson, Eli Mitchell.
They'd win the division. What happened?
I changed that to the Eagles.
Sure.
Okay, start 3. Gibson.
All right, last question for me.
Gibson, Eli Mitchell, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith. Who are you sitting?
Gibson, Mitchell, Jeudy. Jeudy's not practicing.
Jeudy might be sitting for you.
It's half PPR, but let's say Jeudy plays.
Jeudy.
You're still sitting, Jeudy, yeah. Especially if he's not practicing this on Friday.
Okay, see you, Jamie.
Bye.
Bye, Jamie. A
few more questions here from Kyle from a city that borders Tampa. I don't know. St. Pete?
Is that, I think I know this one. Shoot. I'm not going to get it right now. Damn it. I had it though.
Yeah. That's
it's like
great.
Saint something.
St. Pete. Yeah.
St. Peter. Yeah. Pete. Something with Pete.
St. Petersburg.
Petersburg. There it is.
Traded away. I already said, I said that. I gave
up. Oh, you said it already?
Yeah, DeAndre Swift and DJ Moore for Dalvin Cook and Devontae Smith. So DeAndre Swift and more for Cook and Devontae Smith.
Ooh.
Half PPR.
That's intriguing.
Yeah.
I think I'm actually keeping the Swift side of this, weirdly enough. Unless you can find a way to get Madison, too. I don't know if that's possible, though.
That's a good point. Okay, from Ben, from a town in Somerset, England. Somerset? That's not a town? I don't know.
There's no shot that either of us have any English geography in our back pocket here.
Dear Freddie, Jack, Jason, Michael, and Norman. Can you name them?
Freddie, Jack. That's like the Halloween characters, well, like
one of,
Freddie.
One of them is.
Jason. Right.
Yeah. Do you know the
movies?
I don't
do scary movies. That's another take of mine. Scary movies are lame.
10-team PPR. You're a scary movie then. Need to fill.
You would be a scary movie fan. Like, yeah, I just like see it. Like, you got to see the new Jason. Jason 17.
Nah, those are terrible. All right. Two running backs and a flex. Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb, Khalil Herbert, Eli Mitchell, Darrell Williams, Jerry Judy, Jalen Waddle.
What a team. Well, Barkley's not going to play. So was it Mixon was up top there, right?
No, it's Chubb. So start Chubb.
Chubb in. And then I would play Herbert, even though Mitchell and Herbert is a great debate here. I mean, I just love Herbert's running style and his talent, and I think this is a good matchup for him, so I'd play Herbert.
And then you need a flex.
Oh, you need a flex, too.
And so Eli Mitchell, Darrell Williams, Judy, Waddle, Mitchell. And it's PPR.
Mitchell for me, for sure. You got three guys who could touch the ball 15 times there. Easy.
From Paul in New Orleans, who would you rather have next year, ETN or Akers?
Great question, because this is basically the typical keeper type question, dynasty type question. I'm going ETN because I think his injury is a lot easier to come back from. Yes, there's been some more positive cases recently with the Achilles that Akers faced, but you know, you saw it with Emmanuel Sanders. He's done a nice job coming back off it, but there's way more cases of players not coming back from it.
And Angel, DST streamer for this week, Seattle against Jacksonville, Atlanta against Carolina, or Pittsburgh against the Browns?
Love Seattle versus Jacksonville this week. Love it.
All right. Very, very well done. Why didn't you have Airplane on your top 10 list?
Yeah, Airplane's a great movie. Nice slapstick humor. Just not as good, not as clever as any of the ones I named. This is basically what it comes down to.
Not as clever. The whole movie is clever.
Okay.
Every line is clever.
I guess slapstick humor just doesn't hit me the same way it hits somebody like you, Adam.
It slaps me.
It slaps you right.
You know what? I'm going to read, because you listeners or viewers are so loyal, I'm going to read some YouTube questions here. T.Y. Hilton, Tim Patrick, or Beckham?
OBJ for me. Most highest floor. I mean, highest ceiling, I should say.
Darrell Williams, Jerry Judy, Brandon Cooks.
Cooks.
Never in a million years would I start. Not until Tyrod Taylor is back. I'd probably go Darrell Williams here.
Fine. Darrell Williams is safer. I just think Cooks is a nice get-right game for him after all the stuff that's gone on with him in the media.
Booker, Gaskin, Moss.
Ooh. This is all similar options. I'd go Booker.
Tony or Beckham?
If Tony plays Tony, I'm not so sure he's going to play.
Woods or Judy, PPR?
Woods, especially with Judy not practicing. He may not even play. Woods
so
either way.
Weird. I'm hoping that was just some type of maintenance day or something. One more here. David Johnson or LaVisca Chenault, PPR?
David Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm going to join in on the fun this week until it's not fun.
Thanks for watching and listening, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you on Sunday morning with FFT and 5, Sunday night with our show, our podcast, and good luck in week 8.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.